Best worst case scenario podcast.
Anyways, I was talking about zoos and
zoos or Zeus.
Zeus. Why would I be talking about Zeus, the Greek god, Dana?
I don't know.
Explain that to me.
That's why I asked.
Well,
what's the connection?
I'm here to clear it up for you because I was talking about Z-O-O-S, the ones that keep wild animals.
I think they're animal prisons.
Animal prisons?
Yeah, think about it. If we were on a planet and we were sort of the subspecies or like lower on the food chain, and the aliens had us in prisons and they would walk through and look at us and point and laugh and want us to do tricks and shit and give us food to stay alive.
But what if your prison was like, it looked exactly like your apartment normally does, but then you just got a glass screen of some aliens laughing at you while you're taking a shit?
No, it does sound bad. Those animals need a lot of room to roam.
Yeah, that makes sense, because I think about monkeys peeing and like jacking off and just throwing fruit and shit, doing what monkeys do. That's probably why, is because they're just pissed off. They don't want to be the subspecies.
Yeah, we're not that much different from monkeys.
Yeah, and you know what's going to happen if we keep on doing this? They're going to take
over. This podcast?
No. If we keep on putting monkeys behind bars, they're going to get out and they're going to make a Planet of the Apes.
Monkeys behind bars. Sounds like a movement.
But this is a good moment to introduce, allow ourselves to introduce ourselves. This is Mayan over here.
This is Dana over here.
And we will be your guides for today's safari into a very dangerous place. Dana and I have done some research into something that is frankly chilling.
Terrifying.
And it will make the hairs of your knuckles stand up.
Yeah, all you need is a laser pointer and you'll survive.
Get ready, guys, because we are taking you all the way to Africa. What do you know about Africa?
Not a lot. They got some wild animals and some wild people.
What do they have in Africa that they don't have here in the Pacific Northwest?
Like everything. Elephants, hyenas, gazelles.
Tons of stuff that wants to eat you.
A lot of stuff with sharp teeth.
That, yeah, it sounds like the most dangerous place to be in the world.
I don't know. In some areas of Africa, not all of Africa, because it's fucking huge.
Right.
Continent.
Yeah, and so the area that we are specifically talking about in this podcast is going to be the Tsavo region, which is, I believe, eastern Kenya. And it is this place that, much like the rest of Africa, is plains and dry and arid and
shitty. It's like Arizona, but you got a bunch of wild animals there trying to kill you too, not just the weather.
Exactly. It's a tough place. Only the strong survive. So this place, Tsavo in particularly, is known as the worst part of Kenya.
Tsavo is?
Yeah. T-S-A-V-O. And it literally means
slaughterland. That's what it translates to.
Yeah, like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. But instead of candy, it's fucking heads and people's wieners.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's rough.
Ugh.
It's rough there. And so only the strong survive. It just so happens that during the early part of the 19th century, or the latter half of the 18th century. Wait. No.
It's the last part of the...
See, centuries fuck me up because the 17th century is the 1800s, right?
No.
Yeah.
I think the 17th century means the 1600s.
History is tough.
Right?
But this history is the toughest.
Because think about it. Think about it. We're in the 21st century.
Okay, you bring up valid points, Dan.
And remember all the movies before 2000 said 20th century.
Okay, I'm going to need you to dial back that IQ so you don't make me look like a monkey behind bars here, man. So let's take Savo, though. This place has a very dark history. In 1898, during the construction of the Kenya-Uganda Railway between the months of March and December, over 135 workers were killed by two man-eating lions. During that time, the engineer overseeing the project, Lieutenant Colonel John Henry Patterson, engaged the lions in a lethal game of cat and mouse, hunting them while they hunted him. Not only is this story riveting for its factuality, but the details of the two lions' attacks are disturbing in the way they were carried out, and almost suggest a sinister intelligence. You're supposed to be shaking in your boots,
right? They met the Cookie Monster in the fields.
The Cookie Monster of Kenya.
And he ate them up. Rum, 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 rum. People are cookies.
No, this story is true.
No way.
That's what's so crazy about what I just said.
Get out of town.
But this, what we're talking about today is literally the true nightmare for the people in Kenya, for the workers, for this Lieutenant Colonel. God damn, he's got so many titles. Lieutenant Colonel John Henry Patterson. That's a mouthful.
I think they were demons. And so did some of the tribes.
There's actually a deep, rich history of... what's the word? Superstition. Like, what you will find with this story, as I said earlier, there's 8,000 of these Indian workers. Pretty much, when they built this railroad, they brought over tons of Indian workers.
Oh yeah, like 8,000.
Yeah, and they paid them good money.
Because the Africans didn't want no part in it. Because they knew those fucking lions were in the
jungle. I don't know if they knew that, but India sent over lots of workers. And they paid them very well to build this Uganda-Kenya Railroad, which was set up by the East Indian British Trading Company.
Like Pirates of the Caribbean?
Like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And
did Patterson have like a Jack Sparrow tattoo?
No. He was way too straight-laced for that, man.
Wasn't he 30 when he arrived?
I don't know, was he?
Yeah, he was 30 years old.
Damn.
Think about that.
Just makes me feel like a big pussy.
It's like a couple, yeah. I know, right?
Yeah. This dude was literally a badass. Colonel, Lieutenant Colonel John Henry Patterson. This guy was appointed by the British East Indian Trading Company.
You need a whole page to write his name down.
To oversee this building of this railroad as the engineer. He was also tasked with ending the lion problem that we will soon be going into.
Which he didn't know was a problem until he arrived. Right after he arrived, they notified him that somebody was killed by a lion.
Right.
And he assumed that they had killed that worker for their valuables.
Exactly. So,
because he didn't think lions was a big deal.
I know you Indians are getting paid a lot of money. So he's thinking someone killed one of the dudes. Buried his body out in the woods, or not woods, plains. I'm sorry, wrong continent.
The fields.
The fields. Oh. And took their money. You assume to be mistaken. So he gets there, he hears about that story, and he's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Fuck these guys. But they don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
About 5 days later, this guy, Singh, who was a Sikh warrior.
Zeke?
Oh, he was a Sikh.
A Sikh.
Yeah, pretty much Singh disappeared after... He died about,
he died about two years back.
Yeah. He disappeared about 5 days after Patterson got there. This guy Singh, this warrior Sikh dude, disappeared. And then Patterson found lion prints all around Singh's hut. The next day, Patterson tracked the bloody prints several miles away and found Singh broken. Just like Dana broke that beer to pieces.
Yeah, I'm slurping a Mac and Jacks.
I'm sipping the Citrus Mistress. She is a cruel mistress, man. It's pretty bad.
Yeah. What's she doing to you?
Terrible things. I can't say it on the podcast.
Wow, you sound like H.P. Lovecraft.
such terrible, unsightly things.
Terrible indigestion.
Yeah. So that was so Patterson's taken away. Introduction. So
and I think Patterson knew this guy ahead of time. He had met Singh before he went to the area.
They were best buds.
Yeah.
Brothers from another mother's.
And that's why Patterson was kind of skeptical when this guy was taken away. He thought somebody murdered him. But once he found those tracks, like you were saying, he was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, and he was like, who would take out Singh? Because Singh's this badass Indian warrior. Like, there's no way someone could, like, just take his money. It was that night that Singh disappeared, that Patterson and the boy, which was this Indian kid who Patterson used to help
what
him.
What did he use him for?
I don't know, man. I don't know what he used him for. But the boy was very useful.
But I think the locals made fun of this guy and had a derogatory name for him. So when Patterson arrived, he kind of took him under his wing and like reset his status. Like,
come here, boy.
Like, you know what?
You're my boy now.
You're a man because you're with me and I'm a white man.
Yeah. So it sounds like Patterson was a pretty cool dude. Like he saw this little kid getting bullied by his coworkers and he's like, you know what? That kid is going to be my protege. He's going to follow me around. We're going to hunt lions together. We're going to cook beef jerky, go on riverboat gambling trips.
And be my boy.
So it was that night that Singh disappeared, that Patterson and the boy made a stand in a dead tree.
Patterson and the boy sounds like vigilantes.
Patterson and the boy sounds like a good band. All Patterson had with him was a 303 and a double barrel shotgun. I shouldn't say all he had because that's like a fucking arsenal, isn't it? Especially in 1898.
All he had was a rocket launcher, a flamethrower, and a 50 cal.
And a nuke. No,
and
but
a Bouncing Betty.
But those are some good weapons, right?
He called in an airstrike at one point.
In 1898.
Lit up the whole field.
So those things considered with his weapons, he was at ease. Patterson was like, you know what? This is just going to be like a regular lion hunt. No big deal.
And I don't think this guy, Patterson, he's intelligent and skilled in a lot of areas, but I don't think he's ever hunted lions. He's hunted Indians probably at some point too, but these lions are not your typical lions either.
No. Yeah, so they're sitting in this tree.
Who's the him and the boy?
Him and the boy. Of his course. Boy right
that's
under kinda his
weird.
Wing. And it was midnight when the roars started. Patterson heard the two lions. He wondered why tonight they announced their arrival, but the night before they didn't. There were times when the lions got so close that he could hear them each breathing. But the heavy foliage made getting a shot risky. After all was quiet and he thought the hunt was over, the night broke out in screams. But Patterson stayed in the tree, saying he didn't want to make his companion walk through the tall, dark grass. But the next morning, he went to where the screams came from, which was the railway camp, which I believe was about 7 miles away from the railroad, the building camp.
Oh, just 7 miles?
A man was dragged out of his tent and eaten a few miles away.
Do you think the lions, like, killed him quickly or just ate him alive? Because typically, I think lions, when they attack their prey, they grab them by the neck and they try to snap it or bleed them out. But it sounds like these lions, the Tsavo man-eaters, were kind of sadistic. They would just start eating you.
They start with your ass, man.
That's what I was gonna say.
Yeah, so it came from the railroad camp, and he tracked the lion prints, and this was the first time that he realized these lions might not be normal, because he had expected the lions to stay on the periphery of the camp.
Oh, yeah.
But the paw prints showed that they had moved all throughout the interior of the camp.
You're going to have to show your camp ticket to get in here.
Before selecting the poor fellow that got taken away.
And a lot of workers started getting dragged out of their tents and just devoured in the dark. And then they would find remnants of the bodies. And Patterson was surprised that the lions weren't fazed by human habitation, aka the camps, or fires. Right. So they would enter the camps, which were kind of threatening, or you would think were threatening to
these
animals.
A lot of weird sounds and scents, you know, mankind. Yeah.
But they didn't give a fuck.
Yeah. These lions just slipped in and they slipped out and they took you with them.
He did refer to them as brutes.
Patterson?
Yeah.
Damn.
Patterson.
Little Patterson. Yeah.
So that after that night, Patterson slept that day, and he got up at nightfall and set up his next trap. He found a different tree to wait in and tied two goats in front of him.
What did he do with the two goats?
Well, I'll tell you. He tied them up and he set his barrel on them.
He went 50 shades on those goats.
Getting ready, because he knew some lions might take him. Yeah. So he sat there, and after midnight, again, the screaming started. Patterson fired his gun in the air to alert the workers, and he met the lamp bearers and the boy, and they all went to investigate. He quickly found the tent with blood and paw prints, as well as the fingernails of the man who tried to get away.
Yeah, buried in the dirt.
Jeez, right? That's gnarly. Like, anytime there's fingernails, you know shit's fucked up.
Yeah, you know they tried their best.
Yeah, and it wasn't enough.
It was not enough. But, sounds like Predator, like with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like him, fucking the Predators attacking these people. You can't see it, and then you're dead.
Yeah, boom. You can't
and
see it.
And nobody can save you because everyone's sleeping.
And you're just a kibble snack. Yeah. So, like the last attack, what were you going to say then?
I was just going to say, and by the way, this camp that we're talking about, it stretched 8 miles.
Holy shit. So imagine defending that.
You can't defend that.
You can't. And that's why they didn't.
Well, they kind of tie things up a little bit, which we'll get into in a minute.
You're right. So, like the last attack, this tent wasn't on the exterior of the camp. The lion would have had to pass hundreds, if not thousands, of other tents to choose this one.
This guy smelled really good.
So, Patterson at this point grappled with two things.
The first thing, in 2 weeks.
The first thing Patterson grappled with was the lions had no fear of mankind, like you're mentioning. They all these foreign smells and sounds, like they just had no problem waltzing in and taking their pick of the crop, cream of the crop. The second thing was that they had no apparent rules for engagement. So those were the two first epiphanies where he was like, shit, these ain't your average day your lions.
These ain't your average lions because of the way they're attacking the camp.
And their apparent no fear of mankind. Yeah. They don't have rules. Sometimes they roar, sometimes they don't. Who they select seems to be random. And they just have no fear. And they just come into the camp, take who they want, take that to go, and they're out of there.
They sound like Ringwraiths. Well, like, I think before that, even, or during that time, that the guy who lost all his fingernails.
All of them. He didn't have one toenail or fingernail on him.
No, the lion, he like tried to dig in with every nail. Like over the, like 7 victims were attacked over the next 8 days. Like after, I think Singh died, things started heating up quite a bit.
So after that attack, right, they were like, shit, we gotta do something.
Oh, shit. We gotta do something.
Yeah, just like that. And Patterson said, let's condense the camp. So he took the size, which was, like you're saying, like 8 miles long, and he cut it in half, which still pretty fucking big.
How long is that?
4 miles, if my math's correct.
There's the math.
He postponed railroad work and ordered the men to gather thorn bushes and to build a bramble wall encircling the entire encampment.
Known as a boma.
Known as a boma.
Which is a thorny wall. And it's more of a circle now. He it was like this long camp, but he turned it into this 4 mile in diameter camp.
Right.
Which is still fucking huge to think about. Like, how the fuck do you defend that from lions?
Well, at this point, he was like, you know, these sharp thorn bushes, boma walls. Like, there's no way these lions are going to get through this.
Patterson would intentionally leave parts of the wall that they built around the camp weak. And he would sit there and wait for the lions. And the lions instead would attack the strong side of the wall on the other side of the camp. And then he would go over there after they took somebody and wait there.
Yeah, and it was then like whack-a-mole, man.
And then they would attack weak side. It's like they knew what Patterson was thinking. And I think to some extent they did know, because lions can observe their prey and adapt to what they're doing.
And the worst part of all is that when they took people, they'd oftentimes drag them through the boma, which was this super sharp.
I don't know about deliberately.
Well, hard to do that by accident when you can take them over. They would literally decide to go through it rather than over.
It's more convenient.
And it was just these super sharp thorns, and these people would just get shredded up.
Pretty much think about like a barbed wire fence, but it's like natural.
Yeah.
Like these, like think of sticker bushes, but the thorns are huge and they're everywhere, and the lions are dragging their prey right through there.
Right.
And I think it's because the lion's hide and skin is thicker, so they can go through.
Yeah.
And actually later, which we'll talk about, you'll find that these lions had scars on their skin from the boma.
It's like they didn't feel pain, man.
They didn't give
a
fuck, but they would drag the victims right through there and turn them into Swiss cheese.
Yeah. So with these measures of the bomas and like condensing the camp, they also built big campfires and kept them lit at night to deter the lions. But even with all of these measures, during the next 8 days, 7 victims were taken. But then it seems like the lions ran into some bad luck.
Yeah, they attacked this guy, and this Greek engineer was smart because he built boma around his tent.
Yeah, he's so an extra pussy.
Ultra. That's why they went for him, because they're like, look at that pussy right there. We're going to eat
that. He built a boma around within the boma.
We're going to eat that pussy right there.
But they didn't. So Pythagoras, Hippocampidermius, I don't know his name.
The Greek engineer. That lion went in there. It bit on his mattress and flipped him off, and it took the mattress out of the tent and left.
Yeah. Because lions, you know, they need good mattresses too.
Yeah, they need quality sleep.
And Sleep Number doesn't cater to African lions. So.
Yeah, like they like the mattresses that can go up and down.
By the way, Sleep Number, we're here if you want to.
Yeah, so. We'll take some free buzz, sir.
But yeah, so it took his mattress?
Yeah, it did, and they found it the next day torn to pieces.
Because like Hippocampidermius is sleeping on the floor, man.
Fuck this mattress. I think it's the scent. It got confused. And another incident, a lion went into this camp that had 20 Indians sleeping in there.
Like in a community tent.
Sounds like the beginning of a joke.
Yeah.
And... it grabbed a man-sized bag of rice and left.
Yes.
And they all woke up, obviously, and they heard it like kind of like whining on the other side of the wall, because it realized that what it grabbed wasn't edible.
Yeah. So with all of these things that happened in that short while, there was a morale boost for Patterson and the boys. Because they were like, okay, this lion's not getting someone every time it comes in. You know, we have some hope.
Yeah, and there's actually one more case that boosted their morale.
Was it the traveler?
Yeah, go ahead.
So this guy was traveling with water, I think it was. and a donkey.
Why don't you get away from a donkey? Yeah. It was Shrek and donkey.
It was Shrek, which is why it didn't work. So the lion attacked.
What's he doing in India?
And trying to find his new swamp, obviously.
No swamp.
So the lion attacked this guy, and its foot got stuck in the donkey's trap. And so it started running. And
got stuck in the...
the donkey's rope. The donkey's harness.
The reins.
Yeah, of the donkey.
The donkey.
And so as it ran away, the donkey chased it because it was pulling it, and it got scared. It sounds like a funny Instagram reel, honestly.
Well, it's kind of like if you were like playing with your cat on TikTok or something, and you like tied a toy to its leg, and then it ran off and it was scared.
But a 400-pound one that eats people, yeah.
Yeah, so it ran off into the bushes with this donkey stuck to it.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the trader's like, oh, fuck, and he climbs the tree.
And he stayed there for like 24 hours.
24 hours.
Till the next travelers came down the road.
Yeah, and he got safe passage with them.
So yeah, they were on a win streak, man. They were like, okay, these lions are a little bit stupid, taking rice, taking mattresses. And so it was around this time that Patterson joined forces with Dr. Rose, who was a doctor at the encampment. And real quick, I just want to give a shout out to Bob Gimlin.
On YouTube.
Yes, on YouTube. Because
that's his username.
Because this guy did a whole, it was like a documentary on these lion attacks.
And he used the Patterson story or the autobiography or whatever.
Right.
That Patterson wrote.
Yeah. So if you guys want more information on this and you want to cut off the humor that we are
the bullshit
injecting into this, then definitely check out Bob Gimlin because it is solid.
B-O-B-G-Y-M-L-A-N. And that's not his real name. That's actually a nod to the guy who recorded the Patterson Gimlin film for Bigfoot. So that's his pseudonym.
Oh my gosh, I should know that. We covered Bigfoot.
Right.
So definitely check out that guy.
Yeah. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Bob. You're the man, Bob.
Your video is great.
So he teamed up with Rose, Dr. Rose, and the next day found ever closer loops. Sorry. Let me retrack. Okay. So Dr. Rose was a doctor.
And he liked the hose. Dr. Rose liked the hose.
At this camp. And so, check it out.
He made them reach their toes.
Check it out. Patterson had this cabin that was a little bit more reinforced than like the tents a lot of other guys were sleeping in. And one night, one night, him and Rose were together. I don't know what they were doing. You can all speculate.
Probably sharing surgery stories.
Yeah. Checking each other's credentials. So,
yeah. Giving each other hand jobs.
So they heard some noise outside Patterson's cabin. So they went outside of their tent. Their cabin. Dana's. You distracted me. And they found nothing. And so they went back inside and continued what they were doing, which I don't know what that was.
Oh, you know.
And then the next day, Patterson went outside and he found paw prints in ever closening loops around
the cabin.
His cabin. So it was at this point that Patterson was like, okay, these lions are a threat to me as well as my men. Like, it's not just me trying to stop this problem and get this railroad on track. That was funny. But
wow.
But it's also like these lions are hunting me. Like, they want to fucking kill me.
M-E.
Yeah.
Me. Because he hadn't had a close encounter like that.
Right.
But that's like, it raised the bar of like his security, because he didn't give a shit about the lions. He didn't think they were that smart.
Yeah.
Or dangerous.
Which, but I wouldn't either if they're taking mattresses.
But they're circling around his fucking cabin. And I think he even said that they could have broken down the walls if they wanted to,
because
wasn't that strong.
Definitely.
Patterson didn't sleep most nights, just like Nikola Tesla. He took small naps during the day.
Yeah.
He was on the polyphasic sleep schedule.
It was. He was constantly tired. And due to the events of finding the paw prints around his cabin, he actually decided to change residence. And so he set up his new place right next to the medical enclosure, which had an extra wall of thorns around it. And just to put things in perspective for you guys, the lions at this point in time, they entered camp more nights than not, and they were successful more nights than they weren't. So pretty much every single night, someone was being dragged off and devoured.
Yeah, that's terrifying. That's like, you can't defend yourself unless you take a like Red Bull or 5-hour energy and stay up all night, but they didn't have that back then. So
they had coffee, but
I don't think they did. Maybe they just had river water.
River water would
keep you up all night shitting. But there was no way to defend yourself, because even if you had a gun or knife, I don't think you could get out of it. Like, even if you shot the lion, it would still kind of take you. Didn't he like take around 3,000 workers?
I was just going to say that. So it was around that time that Patterson took.
And what is that time?
So the construction of the bridge had to start happening, because what was happening was that there was a certain number of people building the railroad on the opposite side of the river, which Patterson wasn't dealing with. And his workers were working on the other side of the river. And so at some point, he had to break away from the main camp with about 3,000 specialized Indian workers to start construction of the bridge.
Because he had a deadline.
Exactly. So he took the 3,000 specialized workers, split off from the main camp, and set up a new camp near the Tsavo River. And he thought it'd be more secure because it was smaller. It was smaller, therefore it'd be more fortified, and he was like,
see more people.
We'll be safer. The first night that they moved to this new camp, a lion jumped through the hospital air vent, injured two on landing.
This is Breakfast Club.
It's an all-you-can-eat buffet. And took another person. The man grabbed a table in desperation and tried to hold on to it. The next morning, the table was found embedded deep in the thorn wall.
So what does that mean in your mind? That this lion grabbed the guy and dragged him through the thorny boma, and he grabbed a table as he was getting drunk, and he was like holding the table while it's taking him through the wall. He was just like, no! And then it just eventually grabbed him. And so you found the table stuck in the wall. It's just so disturbing to think
about. I would wake up and just shit my pants if I even looked at that. I'd be like, that could have been me. Could have been me.
I think I would just think I was dreaming.
What a terrifying experience to be one in 8,000 and to still be powerless against two lions. And despite the attacks, the bridge was still being built. It began to emerge.
Out of the blood.
Yeah.
It soaked blood of Kenya Tsavo. Like, after it dragged that dude to the boma, I think they had 2 months or so of no attacks, no deaths.
Yeah, but what I heard is that even though the 2 months went by where they weren't attacked, at the same time, people were disappearing at the larger camp. So they actually went back to the bigger camp.
And was picking them off from the bigger camp because it was easier. Because Patterson wasn't there protecting them.
Right. And he didn't.
He's the white light in a dark forest.
He didn't tell his workers at the smaller camp, like, hey, people are still going missing. He was letting them just like feel calm. And at this point,
What a bastard. I know. What a piece of shit. That's your boss.
At this point, many of the coolies, as they called them, at the smaller camp were sleeping under the stars. That's how much they were like, okay, we're fine. These lions are gone. It's been 2 months.
They ain't got shit on us.
Yeah, they thought they were either killed or they had moved on.
Yeah, and mind you, these Indian workers had no idea the type of animals or conditions they'd be dealing with working here on the Tsavo Bridge. They had no idea what they were up against with lions or anything, and they weren't given any training or precautions. They're right. just sent
well. To be
the,
fair, no one knew this would happen.
Yeah, you know, but lions. Kind of want to tell your workers.
But that lions that act in this way, it was just so unheard of. But yeah, after that 2 months in July, they returned. And they grabbed a man.
By the butt.
I don't know. I didn't read that.
The lions came up and spanked him really hard. Killed him. Just from the spank.
Well, they took their time trying to find a place to climb over the bramble wall with this guy.
You're trying to figure out what to do with this guy.
Yeah. The workers.
How do we want to eat him?
And the workers.
What kind of sauce do we want?
They threw things and even shot at it, but the lion escaped. And what's worse is they ate the body within earshot of the camp.
It was insult to injury, pretty much, because they usually would drag their victims like 5 to 7 miles away from the camp.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Which is insane to think about. Like, if you were grabbed by a lion and you were drug alive for 5 or 7 miles and you're just like fucking out of it, and then they set you down on the ground and they're looking at you and
go to Chowtown
and they're like, you know what, I think we'll just let you go.
Dude, yeah, think about it's super fucked up. Like, honestly, for me, I think maybe the worst way to go would be to be dragged off by one of these lions and then eaten. And one of the worst things, this is a warning if you're squeamish,
yeah,
stop listening. But the lion's tongue was so sandpapery that they could literally lick the flesh from you. So oftentimes they would lick the face because that's where a lot of fat is stored in your cheeks. And so Patterson would find these corpses with like pretty much smiles on their face from the licked off flesh.
So they'd look like the Joker.
They'd look like the Joker.
You ever see a cat like licking itself?
Yeah.
That's what they would do to you.
Times 1,000 though in sandpaper power. You can tell I don't use sandpaper that much.
Yeah, they got like 50 grit on their tongue. They could fucking sand a house down. That's
true grit right there.
The biggest mistake you ever make. This is just Jeff Bridges' line.
And around this time they started roaring again, announcing their presence.
Like Katy Perry.
It got to a point where it was so bad that over 1,000 workers left, and Patterson wrote to Mombasa, and Whitehead, who was a district officer, and he pretty much said, like, hey, we need help. We're getting owned.
He had a cousin named Blackhead, and he was on his face, on his nose.
Whitehead, he was a district officer, and Patterson was like, hey, we need help. We're getting owned here. And Whitehead, who kind of thought of himself as like a big game hunter,
think a fat Colonel Sanders with a rifle.
Pretty much. He replied, and he said he would come with a group of African warriors whose indoctrination involved killing a lion.
God damn, that's probably the most badass initiation ever.
Yeah, so Whitehead went there, and Patterson was waiting for him, and he didn't show up on the day that he said he would. And so he came the next day, and he came up to Patterson, and he's like, check out these claw marks. And he took off his shirt, and Patterson saw this big fucking claw mark on Whitehead's chest. And he's like, look at this. Is this how you welcome someone who just gets here for dinner? And Patterson asked him about it, and Whitehead said that when they had gotten to the train in Tsavo, that he went out to scout around, and a lion just fucking jumped out of the woods, plains, and it just attacked him, and it dragged Abdullah, his servant, off into the woods.
I think he might be full of bullshit a little bit.
Me?
No, Whitehead. I think he made the Askaris slash him up.
You think?
Yeah.
Because Patterson said he inspected it, and that he had seen so many lion attacks that he knew it was a lion.
But what are the chances this Whitehead dude would be attacked by a lion? Like a claw mark? No, a claw mark and then nothing else. Like, I feel like the lion would have dragged him off if it was that close.
I don't know. That's interesting, though. Like, what would you have to gain from lying about that?
That's what I was just about to say.
Regardless, Whitehead meets up with Patterson, and they they put their heads together and they think about how do we get these lions, because these lions are fucking up my railroad. They're making it so I can't do my job as a railroad engineer.
So what they do is they make this 50-pound ball of yarn and they roll it down the tracks and they get a laser pointer and they point it right off a cliff and both the lions jump off.
Yeah.
And that's how it ends.
And that would be the Disney version, man. But it didn't happen like that. But you're right. They did come up with a trap.
But also, by this time that we're talking about, more than 1,000 workers had left by this time because they were done. They were so fucking done with the lion attacks. They're like, fuck this. I don't care about your money. I'm going to die if I stay here. It had been, I think, by this time, like 10 months since they were dealing with this issue.
Right. It's been a fat minute. And Patterson was like, you know what? I'm gonna figure this out. So he, the Iron Man genius that he is, he designs this crazy trap that is metal, right? It's like...
it's metal.
And it's this huge trap where the lion walks into the trap, which is disguised as a regular hut. Once it walks in, it trips this wire that slams this guillotine iron door shut. And then inside of the trap are these metal bars spaced closely together. And on the other side of that are 3 to 4 guys with guns. So pretty much the lion walks in, trips the trap. The people with guns have like 4 feet to just shoot this thing up. Like, what could go wrong?
They could not be trained on how to use a gun.
They could be absolute shit at aiming.
He probably would have got success if he hired a bunch of blind people. Like a bunch of Helen Kellers.
He had a funny quote. Patterson said, like, to this day, he will never understand how they missed. And that's exactly what happened. So the lion went in. He heard the clink. He was up in a tree.
Yeah, think of like a shipping container.
Right. So he like heard the clink. He heard the door snap shut, and he was like, okay, they got it. Like,
there we go.
Now they just fire. Like, what could go wrong? And he said it was about a minute before he started to hear fire. And then so already he was worrying. He's like, what's going on in there? What are they doing? They were
too scared to shoot it.
They were too scared. The lion's roars in this little metallic trap were so loud that many of the men had hearing damage permanently.
Permanent hearing damage from the roaring of the lion.
The Katy Perry was right. Yeah.
Katy Perry made them deaf.
Goddamn.
They just put that fucking song on loop.
Yeah. The next thing that tipped him off that it wasn't going well was he started to hear bullets whizzing by his head, Patterson, even though he was 90 degrees to where the men were.
Why wasn't Patterson in here?
Well, he was the previous night, but then the following night, he decided to go and stay in a perch with
Whitehead. He was perched up in a tree like fucking robin.
Yeah, because he was like, you know what?
Like a blue jay.
Like, I want to try to shoot these lions. So he's like, I gave him guns. This lion's going to come in. How could they miss it? So he kind of just assumed, like...
Was it 4 guys in there?
Yeah. So they all panic. And what happened was one of the guys shot the... He shot the trap door lever, and what happened was it lifted the door, and the lion literally just jumped out, and it was like the only...
I'm going to eat you another day.
It was the only way the lion could have escaped, and it happened. And at this point, Patterson was like, there's something going on here.
Yeah, like my workforce is retarded. Something's going on. Like, they either can't see or they can't aim or something.
And they can't even build this fucking bridge.
They're just so terrified.
They're useless.
I don't think they wanted to shoot it because they'd, like, get cursed if they did. But what I would have done with that trap is instead of make bars where you can shoot it from that side, I would make a bunch of holes on the side of it, round holes, and have, like, 10 guys on each side with long spears and just stab at it. Until it was dead.
Damn, dude. You're scary.
Hit me up, Patterson.
Yeah. I'll have his dead ass hit you up, man. Like, that's a good idea, though.
But at the same time, I get why he did it that way, because those guys in there were like really covert, and you didn't need that many people. So the lion went in there, then it shut, and it just like boom, boom, boom.
So after several days, someone sighted one of the lions eating a donkey by the river. And Patterson got a bunch of people together with pans and shovels and picks to flush out the lion into the open. And it worked. The lion was only 15 feet away when Patterson tried to shoot it. But the gun, it misfired. The lion came forward, but all the people around spooked it, and it sauntered off.
Sauntered? Really?
That's what a lion does. It's like, sauntered. It's like a fuck you, like I could take you, but I'm just going to walk off.
Trot off.
Come on, take me.
It sounds like a pussy retreat to me.
That same night, Patterson climbed into a tree alone and waited. He considered all the past failures he had made with the lions. He said it was this night that he slipped into a trance, becoming one with the desert. Around midnight, he thought he heard a footfall, but then an hour went by with nothing. And then bam, he was struck on the back of his head by an owl. Not long after this, Patterson heard a deep, slow sigh, and he knew it was a lion. Without moving a muscle, his eyes scanned the grass, and there it was, a dark shape emerging from the brush, silent as death. He pretended not to notice, to lull the lion into feeling safe, knowing that where he sat in the tree was within jumping distance of the lion, which is around 12 feet. Quickly, he brought his .303 around, and at that moment, the lion sprang at him. Patterson shot it 3 times. Hearing the satisfying noise of his bullets hitting their mark, the lion hissed and roared as it scrambled to its feet, only to fall over again. The workers heard the noises and began to cheer. Patterson wanted to track the beast that night, but he knew these lions well and didn't want to underestimate them. In the morning, Patterson eagerly followed the trail of blood and paw prints, and not more than 100 feet from the tree lay one of the lions, dead at last.
Are you sure it's dead? I think you gotta light that fucker on fire, man.
I know. These things don't stay dead.
Think of Arnold Schwarzenegger, what he would do.
This thing was...
We have to take it out. No.
Destroy it.
Yes. Light it on fire.
Yes, I agree. That's what they should have done, because this thing was 9 feet, 8 inches long.
Including the tail?
Yeah, and it took 8 men to carry the dead body of it.
You know what? I have a suspicion of why these 2 lions were such bitches.
Why?
Because they didn't have manes. These 2 lions at the Tsavo Man Eaters, mm-hmm. It's sort of rare for male lions not to have a mane. It's a little more common in Tsavo, Tanzania area for male lions not to have a mane, but these 2 didn't, and it was considered to be sort of an anomaly.
So they're like lion cross-dressers, is what you're saying.
What I'm saying is it would be like 2 men who couldn't grow beards or mustaches just getting pissed at the world, and they're like, fuck everything. Isn't that a good analogy?
I don't know, man.
They couldn't grow a mane, just like Hot Rod. So he killed this first lion.
It's done. It's dead.
Good for him. It only took him a year.
He must have felt like such a badass. Just pow!
Yeah, because he had spent the last 10, 11 months trying to kill these lions and not even doing his job.
I know.
Because these lions were affecting his job so much, he had to make it his priority.
Right. Like,
could you imagine how annoying that would be?
He was an engineer and foreman of an entire railroad, and he took it upon himself to take out these lions that were terrorizing his men. Like, what a badass.
Just look at Val Kilmer. Isn't he a badass?
But what you're referring to is, of course, the ghost in the darkness, which is a movie based off of what we're talking about.
And right, it's now really close. You should watch it. It's like a documentary.
It's super good.
It's like 90% accurate.
One thing I will say, though, is that the story... Yeah,
it's more dramatic.
...is even better than the movie, even as good as the movie is, because it has Val Kilmer, it has Michael Douglas, who's a fucking legend in that. He's like Kid Rock on crack. Actually, Kid Rock. Kid Rock, probably.
Kid Rack.
Kid Rack.
He's got some man boobs now. Kid He's getting up there.
Kid Rock probably
does. He's drinking too much Bud Light.
Kid Rock probably does crack, but if Kid Rock on crack could do more crack, that's what Michael Douglas would be. Yeah. Because
he does.
He's down with he's down with the Maasai tribe. He's down with Val Kilmer. He's down with the Indians, man. He's just fucking badass.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw Michael Douglas with a Bud Light in the tribal dances. Like sponsoring, hey man, it.
That is product placement. And I think I saw, can't hate on that.
I think I saw Joe Rogan in there somewhere too, with like a feather headdress. But he's so short, I couldn't see him.
Yeah, yeah, he would stand out in the Maasai.
But you're right, Michael Douglas for some reason looked and embodied Kid Rock.
Yeah.
In that movie.
Definitely recommend Ghost in the Darkness. Check it out.
Ghost and the Darkness. So we killed the first lion. Now right, let's kill the second one.
Right. So 10 days of 10 quiet days after one of the lions was killed.
Yeah. The lion had to do some... He had to take a 10-week paid vacation.
Sabbatical.
For grievance.
But after that, on the 11th day...
He went back to work.
He had to get back to work. On the 11th day...
And double time it.
A worker heard noises outside. Initially, he thought it was just some other Indian workers going through his valuables, which I don't know why he kept those outside, but...
Sounds a little racist, too.
It is weird. So he shouted. He's like, hey!
And no reply.
And he didn't hear anything. And he half considered getting up and, like, telling them off and being like, you guys fucking... And this guy was an engineer, way too hard. I think he was an engineer, so he was, like, higher in the...
Ranks. Okay.
He didn't get up, though. But the next day, he gets up and he sees paw prints all around his tent. And he realized... And also, there was a half-eaten goat, by the way. I don't know why there were just goats outside of their tents. I really don't understand.
Haven't you ever seen Jurassic Park? And you put goats in front of predators.
Just risky. Yeah, so he didn't get up, and then the next day he found paw prints, and then, you know, obviously there's a half-eaten goat. So he realized that if he would have gotten up, he would have gotten eaten. So that next night, Patterson put two goats next to the half-consumed one. So he got into a perch in one of his favorite trees next to that. He said it was a dark night with no moon or stars. He thought he heard a grunt, but he wasn't sure. The morning light showed one of the goats was gone, and he didn't even see it.
Not even with his night vision goggles.
Isn't that crazy? Like, to steal a goat out from under the nose of this Patterson guy?
Yeah, and I think he had a pretty big nose, too, from reports.
It's crazy. So he tracked the blood of the taken goat to another half-eaten carcass, and it was then that Patterson erected a wooden perch right there to keep eyes on the body. This night was even darker. Just after midnight, they heard a twig snap. And by they, I mean the boy and him. A huge shadow was closing in from behind the scaffolding, moving towards the goat. Patterson fired both barrels of his gun. The lion fell, but jumped back up, hissing, and retreated into the brush. Patterson knew by how much blood there was that his bullets had struck home. But the next day, when he tracked the blood, the trail turned cold, and nothing more was seen of the lion for 10 days. But then, on the 10th night, the still air was broken by screams. The lion had climbed into a community tent, but the gunfire and shouting drove back the lion and it left unsuccessful. Patterson knew it was shaken, either from losing its companion or being wounded from Patterson's shot 10 days earlier.
The next night, Patterson tried again and climbed into a tree, despite being sleep deprived and having fits of fever. Luckily, he had the boy with him to help keep him awake. Patterson had fallen asleep at some point in the night when the boy tugged at his arm. Patterson opened his eyes while remaining motionless and looked down. The full moon illuminated the clearing, and he saw the crouched man-eater. And what's more, the lion didn't know was spotted. Patterson was amazed at the stealth the old lion showed. It was skilled at the hunting of man. Every footfall found firm earth. It slunk behind every bush, and each move it made was patient and calculating. It circled Patterson and the boy in ever closer loops. And it was then that Patterson realized it wasn't looking at the goat, but at them in the tree. Patterson stayed cool, waiting as the lion crept closer and closer. He knew where the lion would move next, and when it did, he fired. 5 times his .303 went off, and he knew the first round had hit, along with the last two. The lion disappeared into the night, its screams of agony echoing across the plains. He slept on the scaffolding that night in peace, knowing his lion troubles would soon be over.
Goddamn, I just want to like go on a safari and fucking shoot some lions.
I don't think you do, man.
I do.
You don't.
It sounds so fun.
Shooting lions?
Yeah.
We're going on a safari. Like those are two different things.
Like lions that I know want to kill me, you know, so I don't feel bad. Like okay. I ain't just killing to kill, but okay, like
but
these
does it
lions.
Sound fun that you're guaranteed to survive it?
I don't know, man. I just am saying that this Patterson guy sounds like a rush for this guy.
A year of no sleep, that sounded great.
The next day, Patterson and a few others tracked the blood. A loud growl startled them after about a mile. The lion was hunkered down in a thorn bush from its injuries, but it wasn't dead. It was furious. Patterson aimed his .303 at it, and the lion charged. Patterson shot it, and it went down, but then sprang back up and continued towards him. He shot it again, and again it went down, but it was right back up on its feet and coming closer. Twice more, Patterson's bullets hit the lion, but they had no effect, and it continued to charge towards him, bloody and terrifying. He dropped his .303, and made for a tree. His companions had already climbed it, and the lion was closing in on him. If it wasn't so injured, Patterson said he never would have made it in time. With 2 broken legs and countless gunshots, the lion hauled itself slowly up the tree to get at Patterson, missing him with its claws by inches. From his companion, Patterson grabbed his Martini Henry breech loader and pulled the trigger, putting the second man-eater down for good.
It's really scary. I think this last lion was trying to get revenge on its companion that got killed. Because I think its companion took a couple bullets, maybe 3, before it died. This thing took 9 bullets.
Holy shit, 9?
Like, 9 fucking shots. Like, this thing's a juggernaut. I think it took 2 or 3 when it was first injured, and then it disappeared and it came back and he shot it so many fucking times. It kept getting back up and coming, and it just got to the point where it's using its forearms to crawl at him. Like, that's so scary to me that you can't kill this thing.
Yeah.
And then you climb a tree and it's still climbing up at you. It's like it's bloodthirsty. It's just, it's on adrenaline.
Bloodthirsty is a good word for that.
Yeah, man. What's the aftermath of this thing?
Well, aftermath is that
Patterson, they get the bridge done.
Patterson, they did. Well, Kilmer got his lead role.
Yeah, he got his only cool role, and then he got fat.
Patterson said, though, that he himself was involved with 135 casualties, but he thought the actual count from these lion attacks might be closer to 300 when factoring in things he wasn't involved with and the neighboring villages.
Yeah, I don't think it's that crazy to say that it was around 300 people.
I don't think so either, because there's other man-eaters in history, like the Champawat. I don't know if I'm saying Champawat lion.
Is that a new Palumpa?
Like, this lion apparently killed, like, hundreds of people itself.
And you're lying.
No, I'm not lying. I'm tigering, man. And these lions were two together, and they, the possibility of them killing around 300 people is not that crazy.
Yeah, over a year.
Yeah,
especially because they found that the lions didn't eat everything of the humans that they took. They ate like maybe half. These two lions, the Sava man eaters, were actually really picky eaters with what they took. They wouldn't eat like a whole carcass of something. They would eat like a small part and then leave it. So some people speculate they were killing for sport with these humans. Some of them, they wouldn't eat much of at all.
Man.
They just killed them. So that makes you wonder.
They're like the predators.
What their motive was.
Were they protecting
their homeland from like industrialization and humanization?
Is it that thing in the movie of Ghosts in the Darkness where these African spirits were sent here to stop the spread of the white man, to stop the bridge, to stop the trail, to stop the railroad?
Yeah, I guess we'll never know. But they're still dealing with issues today in Tanzania. It's a pretty fucked up place to live in because there's a lot of lions over there and they're still killing a lot of people today.
Damn.
And the lion population has gone down quite a bit. But you got a lot of people spreading out too because of like agriculture, and these people are not ready to fight these lions.
Man.
They're really poor areas.
They don't got weapons. They're living in huts.
These villages, yeah.
These lions come in and like have a all-you-can-eat buffet.
Pretty much. These prides of lions, and a pride of lion could be from 3 to 40 lions. And they're coming into villages and making the villages of humans leave.
You're talking about armies of lions.
Pretty much. And then the government comes in and they hire, you know, gunmen and special forces to take out the lions. And so it's just a really negative scenario because the lions are already slowly becoming extinct. So now there's like 15,000 in this Tanzania part.
Dude. Can you imagine, like, you know how Sabertooth tigers, you know how those are extinct?
Yeah.
There could be a day when we talk to our grandkids and we're like, yeah, lions used to be out there. They used to be these really crazy predators, and now they're gone. And generations from now could be looking at lions in museums and being like, these things used to be in the plains of Africa, but now they're all gone because we wiped them out.
You actually make a great point, because that's what some of the conservationists and experts are sort of predicting what's going to happen with these lions. Is there's so much intersection between humans and lions in these areas that they think they're eventually going to get wiped out. And the only place you're going to be able to see a lion is in a restricted zone. That's
in a zoo.
In a zoo.
It comes all full circle, man.
Or a national park that's actually several hundreds of acres just for lions, but they've got like a giant gate, kind of like Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park is the future.
Right.
Well, if you guys want to see the real life depictions of these lions, they're actually in the Chicago Field Museum. These lions are on display. Their coats.
Yeah, their skins. And their skin. They're actually a lot smaller than what they were in real life because they shrunk down their skin.
Right, because Patterson didn't know how the fuck to keep those lion skins
in
well-preserved states.
So the last of his concerns.
Man. So these things were like around 350 to 400 pounds. Huge.
Yeah, all muscle. They might have killed up to 350 people. But mainstream historians think they killed about 35 to 40 people.
Archaeologists don't understand.
Fucking mainstreamers think they killed 35 to 40 people only. Yeah,
there's no way. Like, I know we live in an age where everything is speculated on and criticized.
Fact checked.
These two lions were demons. They killed so many people, and there was nothing that these railroad workers could do because a lot of them didn't have guns, and these things weighed like three times as much as them. So they just come in and pick them up
to go.
Yeah,
fast food.
Yep. So Patterson, this guy was legendary, and I don't think this guy gets enough credit because what he did for his workers and for, I guess you could say, the British Empire was nothing short of a miracle what he pulled off.
He stood his ground. Like, a lot of people would have quit or maybe even gotten killed, but this guy, he was smart and he was pretty fearless with how much he hunted these lions and the sort of situations he put himself in to try to kill them. He would like go out in the wilderness and perch up in a tree or be on a scaffolding by himself waiting. I'd say he got really lucky a lot of the time, but I feel like something was almost protecting this guy, because if they both would have attacked him at the same time where he was at hunting him, I think he would have gotten fucking killed.
Yeah. Him and the boy.
The boy. Both.
Let the boy watch.
So, yeah, Patterson, he's a hero.
Yeah, and he wrote an autobiography, which...
which is most of the information we've used for this episode.
Right.
This is actually from his account.
I think it's called Man-Eaters of Tsavo.
Yeah.
So, check that out.
And check out Bob Gimlin.
Yeah, check out both them guys. And also, guys, if you...
if you were enlightened by this episode.
If you were enlightened by it. If this made you saw the light, then definitely subscribe, like if you're watching on YouTube.
Rate the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get our show.
This has been Mayan.
This has been Dana.
And we just want to thank you guys for checking out this episode of Best Worst Case Scenario Podcast.
BWCS.
Your guys' support means a lot to us.
Yeah, keeps us going. It your does. Comments, your likes, your little naughty love notes. We see them.
Yeah. And if you really like the show, consider checking out our Patreon, where you can become a member and help support the podcast magic happen.
Everything you want.
Yeah. And also, I just want to say, if you guys have any topics that you would really like to hear about, let us know you're out there. We super appreciate
You can DM us.
You can DM us.
Probably not reply.
No, we will. I'll make
sure. But you will see that we read it.
Which is even worse. We're here for you guys. So let us know what you're into. And we'll we'll reciprocate. So,
yeah. You take care and stay safe in the jungle if you ever go to Africa. Or anywhere. Just be careful of cats, even if you got a domestic one. It's looking at you. And it would eat you if it was big enough.
It's scary, but true.
Fuck
and,
cats.
And with that disturbing image,
cats
we love you guys. Take care.
Good night.